The Muslim's life is captured in Surah Al-Asr. The essence of Surah Al-Asr is the Muslim is appreciative of time. Then his whole life is spent in improving himself and not forgetting others. So this is the essence of Surah Al-Asr. Three things. One is to be appreciative of time. And after Iman, you can't think of anything that is as valuable as time. Because apart from the kafir, even the Muslim will see at the time of death, if he hasn't prepared himself, he will ask for time as well. لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Address is made to the Muslim, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So that means, after Iman, the most valuable thing is time. So, to learn to appreciate time. Our elders, in the process of appreciating time, they say also, don't lose your focus. So the focus is Allah Ta'ala, and there may be many things that may disrupt your focus. Some noise, some occurrence, some fight, some argument, some useless talk, some gossip, some WhatsApp, or many such things, it may just disrupt your thought. Your focus may just be disrupted. So the whole idea is that your focus must be rooted in Allah Ta'ala. In ta'abud Allah. Allah Ta'ala wa the akhirat wa liman khafa maqama rabbi. So these are the two things your thoughts must be focused around. And there will be a lot of things that will disrupt the thought. And then you may not even realize it that my thought is being disrupted. From the year of 1979 or 80, you know, 40 years now, I was in Hajj. So one relative of mine, he had accompanied me and he was talking about some form of criminal punishment where someone is beheaded, etc. So I told him, you mustn't look at it. So nonetheless, I think a few days passed and he saw something like that. So he says, for 1 week I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. You know, some things you can't handle. When you can't handle, it disrupts your whole routine. But who asked you to go and watch the thing? You see things, and you will talk of things that will improve your focus in Allah Ta'ala. If you want to talk about people's faults and weaknesses, that also is another cause of your focus being turned away. Talk of this person, that person, the thought that comes to your mind, I'm still okay. I'm still better than that person. So your focus has been lost. Because now you learn to appease yourself, and I'm still better than others. Whereas, as your focus on Allah Ta'ala increases, then the greater you begin to understand the need for you to come right. You see your mistakes, your weaknesses, open or secret, you begin to understand. Right, you're speaking to that person, why did I use this word here? Hazrat Rahmatullah, staying in the Khanqah, that he won't want you to become true informal as well. At that time I used to wonder, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, whatever advice you would give, my heart will accept it. But sometimes you want to know what's the secret behind it. كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِيَا. You must know how it will come. Believe, but you must know how it comes. But with time then you understand what he's been talking about. So you're going to become too informal, then sometimes you don't know your limits, or the person that you're becoming informal, he doesn't know limits. Right? Sometimes you're going to be discussing things that you're not supposed to be discussing. Sometimes that person is going to talk about things that you're not supposed to be talking. Now because the relationship and affinity is thick, so you can't stop the person in his tracks. You are going to be confused now. Do I maintain this relationship with this person, or do I tell him now, just cut off now? So you're torn in between. But now then those thoughts will run and spin in your mind. You bring your namaz, those same thoughts are spinning in your mind. So I tell the children, one of the worst things for the mind, you want to improve the memories, mental capacity. But one of the worst things is, two very bad things, getting involved in things that don't concern you, or getting involved in debates, discussions, and arguments. You made ibadah, your concentration on Allah Ta'ala increased, your relationship with Allah Ta'ala has improved, now you got into an argument, into a debate, into a fight. Right? Maybe not physical, but verbal. Now, throughout your namaz, you can't have the concentration. Even you're sitting in a bayan, your mind is running around the same argument that you had. You're studying a book, you're becoming hafiz, then your mind is running around the same thoughts. Right? So you can't grasp as you're supposed to be grasping. But then who asked you to be involved in this thing? You can see now that this person, he's losing it, right? And became a little bit casual, and he is losing it now. He doesn't know his limits. But then, very respectfully, you must move away. See, the mind, in the words of our elders, the mind is a treasure house for the remembrance and the love for Allah. That's what it's meant for. It's meant for that, the love, the greatness, and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then don't dump all filth, all type of filth and rubbish and every type of thing there. The treasure house is a treasure. And the treasure house, if you treasure that thing, you don't just put any filth, any nonsense, any trash. So it's a treasure house, then take care of it as a treasure. Until you learn to discipline it. Or sometimes it is a senior person, right? A senior alim. Many times it is his work to reconcile. If it's not your work, then don't get into it. If it is your work, part of your portfolio, then it's a different thing. Man had a squabble with his wife. Or he argued with his partner, or there was a domestic problem between him and his son. So now he wants some type of an exit, some type of a way out. So this person has to listen. Why? He is elder, and people do refer to him for this type of thing. And added to this, he must have the experience. And most of the time they say to ulama that have been recently qualified, don't get into this. So after you're 55, 60, you've got the necessary experience, then you get involved. Because if you don't know this in here, you may create a bigger problem. So you don't know about this thing. How it works, how the mind works, what should be said, what shouldn't be said, how to overcome this thing here. I mean, you don't know about this thing here, you just hurdle, but just to reconcile. But how to reconcile, you know about it. And when you don't know how to reconcile, then don't get into it. There's so many cases, people fall into these things here and they make it worse. Because I listen to your story, by your story, and otherwise, people begin to reason how the public reasons. The public generally is on the side of the woman. Woman empowerment, right? So now you listen to the woman's story and then you buy her story and then you start trashing the husband. So you don't have the necessary experience. Don't get into this thing. You just make things worse. Even that elder person, if he doesn't have the experience, he doesn't know it, then my advice is not to get involved. You're going to either get your mind into a turmoil or you make the situation worse. So the mind was a treasure house for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, for the love of Allah Ta'ala. So anything that is not consistent with this, then don't entertain it. It's not consistent. So what we need to do is to root that love, that remembrance, root it. Talk about Allah Ta'ala, His greatness, or something that will not break that thought. That thought may not be breached. So we're talking of Surah Al-Asr. So the first thing that the Surah teaches you is the value of time. It's gone, and you can never reverse that thing. You can't call it back. Any other thing can be, you can store it out, keep it, and you can call it. The time is gone, you can call it back. Before they should give the example of an ice, right? You better sell the thing before it melts, right? But even ice, you can't freeze it up, you can keep it, you store it up, right? The time is such, you can't freeze it. You can't keep it, you can't freeze it. So it's so precious. So therefore, in life, whether it's a Muslim or a non-Muslim life, the most precious thing is time. In one moment, this one time is so precious, in one moment you can change your whole itinerary. You're going to Jahannam, one moment with the kalima and this, the whole itinerary changed. Has it happened or not? One moment. Time is so precious. Therefore, Qiyamah has got different names in the Quran Sharif. Al-Haqqa, Al-Qari'ah, Qiyamah, As-Sa'a. So these are different times, different names for Qiyamah. Yawm al-Taghabun, Har or Jeet, gain and loss. Yawm al-Jama'. So one of the names of Qiyamah, Yawm al-Hasra, the day of regret. Anzirum Yawm al-Hasra, day of regret. We understand well that for a kafir it is going to be eternal regret. Allah Ta'ala will bring more death in the form of a black and white sheep, and He'll call out the Jahannamis and Jannatis, all the assembly. And after they've assembled, in full view, Allah Ta'ala will slaughter death. See, what is abstract here has a form there. Here, things don't have forms. Abstract things don't have form. Like you're doing an action, right? Namaz. So, namaz can't be taken and preserved. Can it be preserved? Can't be preserved. You've done it, and it disappears into thin air. Doesn't it happen? So you can't take it and preserve it. Can't. But in the next realm, these things that are abstract also will have bodies. So death, in our side, death is like something that's abstract. You can't see it. You can't perceive it. That's how we feel it. But in the next round, it will have a shape. It will have a body. Like Hadith speaks about person having wealth, not discharging the duties that are related to wealth, right? So that thing would take a form of a python, coil around his neck, and bite his jaws, and say, "Ana maluk, ana tanzuk. I am your wealth, I am the treasure of yours." And the person that was doing good, Quran Sharif, he must use his tongue, his eyes, his time was used rightly, then the deeds of his will take a form of friends that are friendlier than friendly. See, when you're in that solitude of the grave, then you want company, right? So Allah will bless you with friends that are friendlier than friendly. Make you forget everything else. Then you don't want to see anything. Allah can do it. In seconds you can do it. In a second. Just substitute you with friends that are friendlier than friendly. I was just showing some friends how Allah does it. One friend of mine passed away now. So his daughter wanted to see him. He dwarf for how many days, crying, fasting, zikr, namaz, want to see my father. So eventually, she got to see him. Now he doesn't looking at her, he's looking at his jannat, one way. He's so engrossed, consumed in that he doesn't look this thing. You see the jannat and inhabitants, the friends that are there, they're so lovable that you get so consumed, you don't see anything else. So that is why I say, one of the worst things in this day is that we don't have the focus. You see that in education, now they complain about, but ICD or something, IAD. Attention deficit or something. Right? Yeah, ADHD. Same thing. Mind is too occupied. You can hear there, everywhere. So, calm keep or dhyan nahi. When the mind is scattered everywhere, and what you're supposed to be doing, your mind is not going there. There's so many things that are distracting. So, we need to learn to discipline our thought. Like we discipline our action, then we discipline our thought as well. When you discipline your thought, then your life becomes a different being's life. So if you discipline your thought, directing it to the hereafter, then many a times Allah shows it to you. Sometimes in life, you see some jannah, and sometimes in your sleep you see it. But that is if you're disciplined. The whole focus is there. Everything else is secondary. Really, everything is secondary. Your whole focus on arad al-akhirah wa sa'ala. So your whole focus is what? Akhirah. And your strive is what? Akhirah. Arad al-akhirah wa sa'ala. So your whole thought is that. My akhirah. So for example, you're doing some charitable work, so your whole focus is the akhirah. I'll do this and Allah will give me this reward. Are you coming for namaz with jamaat and you got that in mind that this reward will be multiplied 27 times. See, so at any given time your mind is in the akhirah. And this sawab, etc., don't consider it to be something small. One person was here. So he says, yeah, no, man. So let's get absorbed in the love of Allah Ta'ala. Don't worry too much about Jannah. So I got talking to him. So what work are you doing? I'm this type of professional person. I asked him, alright, you're doing this profession. If you get a contract for R1 million, how will you take it? So it's very dearly. You can't resist that R1 million, how will you resist Jannah? Can you resist that R1 million? You can't resist this. Then I ask you, how will you resist Jannah? When the whole world and its wealth and everything is not even a wing of a mosquito, can you resist it? You can't resist that. So when Allah speaks about Jannah, aspire. Look at like as though you're imagining it. Tajri min tahti al anhar, going with the flow. Jannat river is going. Dar al akhirata. And it's going with the flow, and it's got a musical tone going, and the lights beaming out. How beautiful, what a sight will it be like. And it's musk, and on the sides, they are like domes, domes of pearls, single pearls. Right? And in those domes are your wives. Here is something, here is that side, something. You got that picture. This focus mustn't be lost. So we're getting into all these things in the phone and all that, and that real focus is getting lost. The founder of Mazahir al-Ulum, Sahanpur, or Mazhar Sahib Rahmatullahi. So both these institutes, Darul Deoband and Mazahir, their roots are from the same person, Nanota. One of Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, Nanafi Rahmatullahi, and his father. Both are going the same. What a fortunate family this must be. And all the ulum is coming from that side. So, in 1857, there was the war which they called Britain and Ghadar. So he participated in that war. And people used to see this Mawla Mazhar Sahib Rahmatullahi. Every now and then, he will be licking his upper lip. Upper lip or lower lip. So someone was more informal with him. What is this? You're licking your lip so much. He says, you see, I was in that war. And I was also shot, I was hurt, and I fell over unconscious. In that state I'm seeing, the hoors are coming around, and they're serving some type of sherbet to all the shaheeds, all those are shaheed, and they are being served. So, one of those who mistook me for also a shaheed, right? She saw me falling down, and she mistook me for a shaheed. So, she presented it to me. It reached my lip, then another who pulled out, saying, he's not a shaheed yet. But he says that it just touched my lip. Wallah, till today I can get the enjoyment. You see this Jannat. So this world is no comparison to Jannat. So don't get consumed with this thing. Don't get distracted. Think what Allah has got for you. Jannat, the beauty, the love, the excitement, the entertainment, what He's got there. When the Hadith is talking about it, when the Quran is talking about it, get your mind consumed in this. Like I told this person here, you can't resist this thing here. We know this is Jannat. So don't think Jannat is an insignificant thing. Someone said this type of statement, he said it in a state of a mind, right? So you don't take his statement, you take the words of the Hadith. Leave that to him. You don't go behind him. So, one is Arad al-Akhir, your time, appreciate your time. Today is the 27th. Today is going to be 3 more days or 2 more days, Allah knows. At least now these days that are remaining, at least appreciate this. Whatever has happened, happened. What is left now, at least appreciate that. How much you can appreciate it. So this is the first thing that we invest our energies, look after the time. So, even mentally, let alone physically, even mentally, our mind is in the right place. It comes with a little bit of discipline, with a little bit of adjustment, mental adjustment. And if you don't want to do that, I'm going to go, I need to pass time, so what I must talk about? So let me talk about, alright, where you're going for the holidays, what are you going to do? Alright, when are you going to go back to business, house business? So now, your mind and his mind is going to go. So, we come here to discipline our thought as well. Not only our physical self, our thought as well. So, as though everything else after that mustn't have a substantial meaning less. See, the hadith says that he's made his akhirat his main concern. Remember the wording? جَعَلَ هُمُومَهُ هَمَّا الْوَاحِدَ هَمَّا الْآخِرَةَ. His whole focus, his whole concern is akhirat. مَنْ جَعَلَ هُمُومَهُ هَمَّا الْوَاحِدَ. Whole concern is akhirat, the life after death. That's the whole concern. His whole life is rotating around that. So that concern, that thought must be around akhirat. I'm going to do two rakats namaz whatever I get. You know, when there was this lockdown and all that, and then you couldn't go for Umrah for some time, people were talking about it. I said, but if you're going to talk like this, it's going to create negativity and despondency in you. Within this constraint, think now how you can exit. So I can see what I'm doing. There's a hadith which says that you make wuzu at home and perform two rakat namaz in the masjid. Then you're doing an umrah. You're getting an umrah sawab. So you left home, made wuzu, left home, came. Went to the masjid, did your two rakat namaz, now you got your umrah sawab. So there's a substitute. If you couldn't get that, at least there's a substitute. Get this at least. If you couldn't get a flight to Hajj, then there's a boat that's coming also. It's a substitute, alright? It won't be as good as the plane, but it's something at least. You read your Fajr Namaz, sat down in your place until Ishraq, now you're getting Hajj and Umrah Sawab. You're looking at your parents with love and respect, now you're getting Hajj and Umrah Sawab. Love, respect, obedience. Oh, there are some substitutes. You only think, hey, this government is doing that. I ask you, are you going to get anything out of it? You just create despondency, create hope within you, in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. I can do this. This is also an option. This is also an option. Let me do this thing here. Talking is very easy, but doing is difficult. You know, it's time that we learn that you must walk the talk, right? Or walk the talk. Spoke enough now, no? Walk the talk. Do something. Something. So you're talking about too casual and informal relationship. Not a good thing. I'm joking with you. And you took it seriously. Now, for 10 years, I must battle with you. Hey, yeah, I'll take everything serious. Can't even joke with you. And if he's avoiding you, proudest people, you can't even joke with them. So who asked you to become so informal? You became informal now. You did something, he did something, and you can't forget, he can't forget. So don't take the step where you have to ask maaf. Tandimu ghadan. You said something or you're doing something, and tomorrow you can't forget. So why should you do it? And now that little bit of amusement, do it at home. You've got children, good wife, go do it with them. So there, inshallah, the children will take it nicely. The wife will also take it nicely. Now, you don't have the time for that. So do these things at home. The wife, your children, go and do it. Play with them, joke with them. Let's say you've got such a good Abba, you can talk to him. He's not a monster when he comes in. He's so relaxed, they feel nice, they feel good. If they were down that day, his purse come up. Huh? You know, do this, some person is taking exception. Then he's asking for maaf. Then he's shouting, what do you think about me? Taking me like a toy. You see all the wrongs that come after them. There's not a time to become too informal. Although, the hadith says that Sahaba kiram akalluhum takallufan. There was no formality with them. But now, Hazrat Muhammad says, جب بے تکلفی کرتے ہیں تو بے ادبی کے اوپر اتر جاتے ہیں. When they become too informal, then they lose adab to each other. Respect, how you should be talking to the person, how you should be walking to, all that is lost. So now, you know, if the person doesn't know his number, they don't become too informal. You became friendly, but just to a point, you cut off, so you met him properly and you left properly. But you became too informal, so he doesn't know limits, you don't know limits, something happens, you feeling miserable, he's feeling miserable, for years nothing happens, carries on. But where it started from that? So two things bring about this. One is too much of a casual, informal relationship. And the second is when you have expectations with people. So you are good with the person and you have some expectation, right? Uska kaam kar dunga, wo mera kaam bhi bana dega. I'll do something for him and he'll scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. Now you scratch his back nicely, but he don't want to scratch. Now, what happens? Problem, isn't it? So, don't do this type of things. You have hope only in Allah. Do good, do the work of generosity, kindness, do it. But no expectation. If you got expectations, then that brings about depression. Yeah, but he needed, I did everything. And it's my time now, he is just turned a blind eye. See? So, that focus is turned away from Allah to makhluk. So I wonder, you know, the Jamaat people sometimes, where they got the phrases, great phrases they got sometimes, very great phrases. Say, makhluk se na hone ka yakin, or khalik se hone ka yakin. Have the yakin, Allah Pak is a doer, not the makhluk. So you know, the thing, things go wrong, where it goes wrong, the mind turns onto the makhluk. Ye karega, ye kahega, to mera kaam ban jayega. He will see it and it will happen. So where's the yakin going there? It's said in a very simple form, but it's got a very deep meaning. Khalik se hone ka yakin. So your yakin gets affected, your focus in the hereafter goes, you know, then your mind just becomes the world, nothing but the world. And then, after you got one, then you're chasing after the other one, after you got the second one, then the third one, it carries on until لَيْ يَمْلَأَ بَطْنَ إِبْنَ آدَمْ إِلَّا تُرَابْ. Until you hit the grave. Until you don't hit the grave, you're still in the same chakkar. From one post to the other, to the third, it carries on and on. Not ending, unending. They say it also, never resting time. Never, time just moves on. Do you hear the time ever resting? Then I must take a break now, man, you know. Moved for so many years, now just chill down, go for a picnic. Time doesn't rest, just moves on. Like the sun doesn't rest, just moves on. So we're talking about the day of Qiyamah. One name is Yawm al-Hasra. So for the non-Muslim, it is eternal regrets. But for the believer also, it's a day of regret. Because he's seeing anything. This person made a small maneuver to his life and I can see he's posted to the level 100. I'm scratching with level 5 in Jannah. He made a small maneuver, some adjustment he did here, there, corrected himself and see how he elevated himself. I could have only used my brains. I could have been with him. Now I didn't use my brains, see what happened. Zero. So that becomes a means of your regrets. So this, it can't be a thing as valuable as time. See, in the moment that you're walking, traveling, coming to masjid, work, just the time, it can be valued. I said, don't exert yourself, but just moderately, just put your mind there. So Qasim Simar, I should say, you drive with zikr, and don't be without fikr, what? Zikr, but fikr also, you don't make an accident. So, you make zikr, but fikr also. I must say, accident, mustn't make an accident, mustn't look at the wrong things, right? See, these people that made the jannah, this is what they are saying. I was talking to you about that man, He is looking into his jannat, he can't even look at his daughter. She can see that it's too beautiful. It's too beautiful. He can't just take his eyes out of it. So Allah, Allah gives the true vision of jannat. For years you can't turn your eyes. Your eyes are so consumed. Jannat, what Allah has got. For years, years, you can't just turn your eyes. So consumed. You're mesmerized. The best word I can think of, mesmerized, I think it just mesmerized you. So here it is, his beloved child, but he can't even look at her. He's so mesmerized in that. See, Jamal Jannat is, Allah will give it to us. So, but he gave her two pieces of advice. I mentioned it in the past also. One advice was, since the world is not a thing to be fighting and running afterward. The world and its glitter is not a thing to be fighting and running after. That's the first piece of advice he gives to his darling daughter. That the world is not a place to fight over and to run after. Work moderately, don't fight over it. Went away, came. I don't say just squander your wealth. No. Work moderately, look after yourself, look after your dependents, whatever, right? But don't chase and don't fight over this thing. And the second piece of advice he gave her, that you see, your works of charity, don't consider it insignificant. Helping someone, you're providing for someone, you're doing someone's work, right? Every person can think, oh, Allah gave me some talents, right, or some wealth. You got a talent, or you got a wealth, right? So if I've got the wealth, let me spend that. But if I don't have the wealth, let me share the talent with the person. He doesn't know, for example, he doesn't know about plumbing, right? So I showed him what I see. You do this, you've got a leak, this is what you need to do. Washer, how you change it, right? But let me teach him something. So I passed him, أَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُ. What we have given you, you're spending on others, right? So you're not for yourself. So what Allah has blessed us, we spend on others as well. Either the wealth or the talent that Allah has blessed us, we showed him. It's an accountant, so I show you some, right? This is how you do your book. Let me show you an easy way, right? How you can do it. These are things, these are simple procedures. You look after your wealth and you save yourself from taxes. But that's a charity already. You save the person 100 rand, 1,000 rand, you save the person. Sometimes 1,000,000 rand, you save the person. This is a small maneuver. But that reward is coming to you. You saved him so much. And he feels so grateful, hey, this man is good. You see, this appreciating time. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Shall I read all the rest, talk about the rest. But today in our return, we want to appreciate time. And even your thought, gradually try and discipline it. مَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ جَعَلَ الْهُمُومَ هَمَّا وَاحِدًا. Concern is this one. Everything else now is secondary. Everything else. Allah Ta'ala is primary. Why have children, everything is secondary? Because of Allah Ta'ala, you're seeing to them. Seeing to them also just because of Allah Ta'ala. But your Jannat and Allah Ta'ala is primary. That is primary. You can't let that go. Everything else will come after. Come in time. Allah Ta'ala.